Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Christ is risen. Indeed, he is truly risen. Welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. Thanks so much for joining me in this beautiful month of May dedicated to Our Lady. And as we start to wind down the Easter season, preparing our hearts to commemorate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mary at Pentecost. This Sunday, of course, in our archdiocese, we are celebrating the ascension of our Lord, recalling how at the end of his earthly life, Jesus ascended triumphantly into heaven. For a few other provinces, however, the celebration of the ascension has been retained on the proper Thursday, which was just this past Thursday. We've got the novena to the Holy Spirit beginning on Friday, May 27th, the day after the traditional celebration of the ascension, and ending on the vigil of Pentecost. Saturday, June 4th. It was at the Ascension that our Lord gave the apostles the Great Commission, telling them to return to Jerusalem to await the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 recount how the apostles of Jesus entered the city and went to the upper room where they were staying. And they, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, devoted themselves with one accord to prayer. Well, it is to our great spiritual benefit if we cultivate this time in between the Ascension and Pentecost, as those first disciples did, to more fervent prayer and some fasting, looking to Our Lady to help strengthen and guide us as we implore the Holy Spirit to come and renew the church and the face of the earth. For the past 3 years or so, we've been attempting to do just that during a special round-the-clock novena of prayer there outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. I'll tell you more about that right after we pray together and take a quick look at the news. Come, Holy Spirit, creator of all things, you who breathed over the waters at the dawn of creation and brought forth all living beings, you who filled the apostles when the risen Lord breathed on them on the first Easter night, giving them the power to restore life to those dead in sin, you who on the last day will breathe again over all the dead and raise them from the grave, come, come and breathe on our world again, immersed as it is in this culture of death. Come, O Lord and giver of life, defeat the works of death in our midst, that abortion may no longer stain our land. We worship you, O Holy Spirit, and we rejoice in you. We know that no matter how strong the forces of death may be, we can still find in you the endless source of life. Renew that life in each of us and make us worthy apostles of the gospel of life. Give us your gifts and fruits to preach this gospel courageously and tirelessly for the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. This past Wednesday, the governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, signed into law the country's strictest abortion ban, making the Sooner State the first in the nation to effectively end abortion. The new measure protects unborn children from the moment of conception and is styled after a similar Texas law where enforcement falls to private citizens. I promised Oklahomans that as governor, I would sign every piece of pro-life legislation that came across my desk, and I am proud to keep that promise today, Stitt said. From the moment life begins at conception is when we have a responsibility as human beings to do everything we can to protect that baby's life and the life of the mother, the governor continued. That is what I believe, and that is what the majority of Oklahomans believe. If other states want to pass different laws, that is their right, but in Oklahoma, we will always stand up for life. The new law went into effect immediately, but Planned Parenthood and other abortion groups are expected to file suit to stop the law. And some U.S. House and Senate members have asked the Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General to conduct an immediate investigation into allegations that the University of Pittsburgh violated federal law while conducting fetal tissue research that was financed by the National Institutes of Health. The legislators voiced their concerns that Pitt researchers illegally altered abortion procedures in order to procure fetal tissue, and in some cases, harvested tissue and organs from babies who were born alive during abortions and then killed. The letter was dated for May 24th, and nearly 90 members of Congress have signed on to it, including a few from the Hoosier State. And by way of reminder, the Bloomington City Council is set to vote on the allocation of taxpayer dollars through the Jack Hopkins Social Services Fund at its Wednesday, June 15th meeting. As usual, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood has requested $7,500 for contraceptive abortifacients and emergency contraception. Please be sure to contact City Council members to voice your concerns about giving taxpayer dollars to the nation's largest abortion provider, and please keep them in your daily prayers. 26 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Several of the women coming to 421 South College Avenue to have their unborn children killed came from out of state, including from Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, and Illinois. A novena to the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of Life, is underway there outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. For 9 consecutive days from May 27th until just before midnight on June 4th, a round-the-clock prayer vigil will be taking place. You're invited to drop in at any time to pray and beg the Holy Spirit to come and renew our community, country, and world. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, for the past several years, we've been blessed to see some incredible fruit from our prayer vigils and sacrifices offered outside there at 421 South College Avenue. We've covered this good news before on various programs, relaying how abortion numbers have been significantly declining and how the employee turnover rate there is quite high. Well, for the past 7 weeks or so, the Lord has been calling us to walk by faith and complete trust in Him. Because for seemingly no apparent reason, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood has started doing abortions every week again, and at record numbers. It's been nothing short of heartbreaking to see the women stream in there every Thursday, starting at about 8 a.m., with the last one walking out usually sometime between 5:30 and 6 p.m. And they are bringing many of them in from outside of the state, including from Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, and Illinois. They have 3 regular abortionists who are taking turns driving down from Indianapolis to Bloomington to either dispense the abortion pill or perform the surgery that violently ends the lives of so many unborn children. They usually kill anywhere between 27 and 30 unborn babes every Thursday now. Prior to this new phase, if we saw 25 or 26 women come in, we thought it was a really bad day. And to be honest, we don't see an end in sight right now. We're all questioning what has happened. They seem hell-bent on getting as many women and their unborn children as possible into the Bloomington Planned Parenthood on Thursdays. Perhaps the devil knows his time is short, and he's personally driving this madness. At any rate, there is a great sense of urgency and a neediness right now to offer up a novena to the Holy Spirit. I think I mentioned last year on the program how it's been noted how we could say that our Lord made a 9-month novena with Mary before coming forth from her most pure womb. And so likewise, the apostles made a 9-day novena with Mary before they were birthed forth from the womb of Holy Mother Church in order to go and preach the gospel throughout the world. Our church and our world are in desperate need of a new Pentecost. Something has to give, not only there at 421 South College Avenue, but throughout the whole world and in each of our own lives. Confusion and darkness are reigning right now. I mean, not only are they killing record numbers of unborn children there every week now at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, but they are also happily passing out all kinds of dangerous hormonal treatments to young kids and adults who believe they can change their biological sex without any problems, as well as continuing to peddle the lie that sexual freedom means that you can do whatever you want without any consequences for your own body and soul and society as a whole. So, to do our small part to help combat these grave errors, from midnight on Friday, May 27th until 11:59 p.m. on Saturday, June 4th, there will be someone praying there outside of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, begging the Holy Spirit to come and renew our community and the world and bring life and light out of this chaos. So many souls do not have supernatural life within them. We must beg for the graces needed to change this. And we need our own souls to be renewed and reinvigorated for the battle that lies ahead of us. This is also a crucial time for our country, with a decision for the Dobbs case expected any time now. So we want to make sure that the Supreme Court justices receive a share in these novena prayers too. We'd love to have your help during this novena to the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. So feel free to stop by there at 421 South College Avenue at any time, day or night, starting on Friday, May 27th through the 11 p.m. hour on Saturday, June 4th. It's a great chance to make the necessary reparation for all the evil that goes on there, as well as a chance to make up for our own sins and shortcomings. Let us together beg God for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our own lives, as well as in the lives of all those who work, volunteer, and patron there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Well, if you're like me, you're growing battle weary. The decay of society and culture is all around us, and it can become quite overwhelming to live in such a world. So it becomes important for us to turn not only to prayer and the sacraments to obtain the graces we need to persevere, but also to look to the lives and writings of the saints who can show us how to live out these times, giving us the encouragement we need to keep on keeping on. One such fine example whose writings I've come across recently is not yet a canonized saint, but his cause was opened by the Holy See in 2005. Servant of God Prosper Louis Pascal Guéranger, who is commonly referred to as Dom Guéranger, was a French priest and Benedictine monk who likewise lived during a very stressful and difficult time. God raised up Dom Guéranger to help reestablish the church and specifically the monastic life in France after it had been wiped out by the French Revolution. Now, after the end of the Reign of Terror, things didn't just simply go back to normal. The church continued to be persecuted and had to deal with a whole new set of problems. Dom Guéranger's life was given up to developing the young monastic community there in France and inspiring its members to have absolute devotion to the church and to the Pope. He was a staunch proponent of the doctrines of the Immaculate Conception and of papal infallibility. He was also a prolific writer, attempting to arouse priests, religious, and the faithful from their spiritual torpor or lethargy. I wanted to share with you an excellent passage from a sermon given by Dom Guéranger. It's one of those pieces that I just need to personally tape to my mirror and read through it every single morning to help motivate me more before I begin my day. Dom Guéranger said, "The combat has commenced. The miseries of this present life are the tests to which God puts his soldiers. He passes judgment upon them and classifies them according to the degree of courage they have shown. Therefore is it that we will all have our share of suffering. The combat has commenced. God is looking on, watching how each of us conducts himself. The day is not far off when the judge will pass sentence on the merits of each combatant and award to each one the recompense he has won. Combat now, peace and rest and a crown then. Happy they who, during these days of probation, have recognized the mighty hand of God in all the trials they have had and have humbled themselves under its pressure, lovingly and confidingly. Against such Christians who have been strong in faith, the roaring lion has not been able to prevail. They were sober, they were watchful during this their pilgrimage. They were fully convinced of this, that everyone has to suffer in the present life. They therefore never sighed and moaned as if they were the only sufferers. They did not assume the attitude of victims and call it resignation, but they took each trial as it came, and without talking to everyone about it, they quietly and joyously united it with the sufferings of Christ. O true Christians, you will be joyous for all eternity when there will be made the manifestation of that eternal glory in Christ Jesus, which he will pass on to you that you may share it with him forever." So many words of wisdom to ponder there by servant of God, Dom Guéranger, who too lived in very difficult times right after the French Revolution. May his words inspire us to be worthy and courageous soldiers and sons and daughters of our glorious King as we continue our work within the pro-life movement. Well, throughout all of the Easter season, we've been treated every day in the church's sacred liturgy to readings from the Acts of the Apostles. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, we find a portion of St. Peter's speech given at Pentecost. Sacred writ tells us that Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to the people, "Let this be known to you and listen to my words. It will come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below." Well, since we're preparing our hearts to celebrate anew the momentous event of Pentecost, and since we are in the month dedicated to the Queen of Prophets, the Blessed Virgin Mary, I thought it would be an ideal time to take a look at a modern Marian apparition that has been approved by the local bishop to a woman in a hamlet called Zevernich, Germany. These supernatural visions have revealed some beautiful messages and also warnings of coming tribulations, especially for the sin of abortion. Catholic author Michael Brown has done some in-depth coverage of these heavenly visitations of Our Lady to a wife and mother named Manuela Strack, who several years ago handed off some notes and secrets to then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger to be given to Pope St. John Paul II. And not only has it been the Blessed Virgin Mary and her son who have appeared to Strack, but she is apparently visited as well by various saints and angels. According to Michael Brown, the first series of apparitions began to take place in Strack's parish church there in Germany between 2000 and 2005, when Our Lady appeared as Mary the Immaculate. In a 2003 message, Our Lady reportedly told Strack, "I recommend to you my gown, the scapular of Mount Carmel. Wearing it constitutes the most profound consecration to my Immaculate Heart." In 2005, Our Lady said, "Dear children, I greet and bless you in the name of my beloved Son, Jesus Christ. My Son would like you to consecrate yourselves wholly to my Immaculate Heart." The messages were studied by the bishop, who found all of them in accordance with Catholic doctrine. On November 11th in 2004, dozens of pilgrims to the church witnessed an apparition, not of Our Lady, but of the Holy Infant Jesus of Prague, in front of the Blessed Sacrament during Eucharistic adoration. It is recorded that dozens of the faithful saw him. The following year, in 2005, Our Lady said farewell to the people of Zevernich, and for 13 years, there were no public apparitions given. In November of 2018, however, an ongoing series of apparitions of the Holy Infant of Prague were then given to Manuela Strack. The child Jesus himself allegedly told Strack, "A severe time will come, harder than ever before. Many souls will err and lose their faith. I come to convert sinners. I am the King of Mercy." Apparently, Strack explained that Jesus decided to appear as the Holy Infant of Prague as a prophetic sign linked to the killing of children. Unless mankind repents for the greatest crime of our times, abortion, it will be punished most severely. On December 2nd, 2019, Strack said that our Lord announced three difficult years were ahead for mankind. Michael Brown points out that this was a very interesting prophecy because it was right before COVID and the lockdowns hit. And you don't need me to remind you of how a great number of the world's Catholics did not even have access to the sacraments during those lockdowns. It was certainly an unprecedented and painful time in so many ways. Manuela Strack was also allegedly told that in year number two of those three difficult years, Western Germany would be hit with devastating floods, which it was, along with Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. The little town of Zevernich, although located in the epicenter of the flooding, was miraculously spared. Then, on April 25th, 2021, Strack had a vision of the Holy Infant sprinkling Russia, Ukraine, the U.S., and Europe with his precious blood. Many do not understand me, he told a German housewife. Worried about their lives, they do not see how Satan tries to lead them into a war. This spark of the adversary could inflame the entire world. This is why I am asking you for an act of reparation. This spark of evil can become a scourge for the whole earth. Pray, sacrifice, do acts of reparation. Strack also says that our Lord told her that he has given us the standard of his precious blood, which has the children of God, the apostles of the end times, as a sign. The time of the apostles of the end times has come, our Lord reputedly told her. Manuela Strack continues to receive messages, and she's spoken of the threats of Islamist terrorism, a persecution of the church, civil wars in several countries, earthquakes, hurricanes, a meteor or asteroid impact, a warning or a type of universal illumination of conscience, and if mankind does not repent, especially of the sin of abortion, a great chastisement. Michael Brown reported on the most recent message, which was given purportedly from the Infinite Prague to Strack at the beginning of this month of May. There was reference once again to the war being waged by Russia in Ukraine, an invasion which Strack seems to have strikingly predicted. The divine child Jesus told her, "Behold, I am calling you to prayer, sacrifice, and repentance, lest this war enter the world. I call to prayer, sacrifice, and repentance with the prophets of the Old Covenant, with all the angels and saints of heaven. Listen to my word, listen to my desire. If you follow my wish, my word, the judgment could pass you by as it did Nineveh. Dear friends, I want to save you. That is why I've come to you today. This, my word, is to go out into the world. No nation will be able to feel safe, not even the most distant one. Turn back. People gave me the crown of thorns. The Father glorified me. Look at my crown. People gave me the cane to mock me. The Eternal Father gave me the scepter. This is the glorified cane. People gave me the red cloak as a mockery. Behold, this is my glorified royal mantle." Strack then relayed how the baby Jesus came closer to her, saying, "Darkness will fall on the church." She said that our Lord then told her how a misunderstood mercy will mislead many people. "I must allow a great test to come your way this year," the divine child told her. "Pray, pray with all nations. Pray for the Eternal Father's mercy. This is your way out, your salvation." And as bad as the world is right now, this appeal to divine mercy is our only hope. But as our Lord told Strack, it's a mercy that must be rightly understood. It has to involve repentance and an amendment of life. If those of us who do know better will make an oblation of our very lives, uniting our sacrifices, sufferings, and penances with our Lord's passion and death, we can help obtain the necessary graces that are needed for the illumination of consciences and repentance of souls who are so steeped in sin and darkness. These apparent supernatural apparitions that have been going on there in Zevernich, Germany, are reminiscent of some others that took place some 80 years ago in Hida, Germany. We've covered those events and messages before, but in these few remaining minutes, I'd like to revisit it quickly again, because the messages are still so important for us. Our Lady and her son's message there at Hida can basically be boiled down to the same directive given there in Zevernich. The devil's time is short, and he is acting with great violence in order to cause as much devastation as possible. Therefore, these times require much atonement and reparation by way of sacrifices and prayers for poor sinners. The visions at Hida began on the night of November 1st in 1937. Four young girls between the ages of 12 and 14 were leaving the church when they suddenly saw a beautiful lady with a child in her arms. The visionaries relayed how, despite the incredible beauty of Our Lady's face, it was often stern, and she frequently shed tears. Several appearances occurred until 1945 at the end of World War II. In all, there were more than 100 messages given. Interestingly enough, none of the villagers believed the girls until they showed a dramatic change in their way of life. Prior to the apparitions, the girls had given themselves over to the pleasures and worldly amusements. But after the vision started, they began to spend hours in prayer and embraced sacrifices to win graces for souls. One of the seers, Greta, continued to be granted visions after 1945 and was even given the stigmata. She passed away in 1996, and her tomb is visited by pilgrims, several of whom have reported favors through her intercession. Some of the messages that Greta received and passed on include our Lord telling her, "Humanity has not listened to my Holy Mother who appeared at Fatima to exhort it to do penance. Now I myself come in this last hour to rebuke the world." Our Lord allegedly told Greta that what will happen in the world will be terrible, such as never been seen since the beginning of the world. That's because humanity is worse than before the flood, dying in the confusion and in the bog of sin. These are such serious times, our Lord said, so it is absolutely necessary that we do penance for our sins and turn away from evil. This generation deserves to be annihilated, Jesus reportedly told Greta, but only by looking at the righteous will I allow my mercy to triumph. The faithful should not be asleep now like the disciples on the Mount of Olivet. They must pray without ceasing and obtain all they can for themselves and for others. Pray tirelessly, our Lord said, so that you will not be confused. I will build my kingdom with a small number of chosen ones. This kingdom will come suddenly and sooner than one thinks. And our Lord told Greta that his own mother and the choirs of angels will have an active role in helping us during these times. Upon my servants and my handmaids, I will pour out a portion of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, says the Lord. Over the last century especially, we have seen many apparitions of Jesus and Mary surface with messages of how heaven is distressed with the state of the world. There is an urgency present. Mankind is about to tumble headlong over a cliff, and many souls will be lost for eternity if humanity does not turn around. Let us intensify our prayers and sacrifices during these 9 days of preparation for the solemnity of Pentecost. As a final note, we're going to take some time off from airing new material for about a month or so, but we will be running some previously recorded programs. We'll be back on July 8th, hopefully knowing by then if Roe v. Wade has been overturned. I'm sure we'll have lots to discuss on the return program. Thanks so much for joining me today, and until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.